Our scripture reading for today is taken from John chapter 4, verse 35, where Jesus is here addressing his disciples. "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, these are your words of truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them and stir up our hearts. We pray that you would send laborers into the harvest field and use us in various ways to testify to your marvelous grace in Christ. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, outside of Boulder, Colorado, there is a cemetery where apparently there is a grave marker that was placed back in 1954. A young college woman was found dead, and they've never been able to determine her identity. No one ever came forward to tell who she was, and no one was ever looking for her. And to my knowledge, that's the first time the name Jane Doe was ever used, as we've heard John Doe, but Jane Doe. And that is the name on that marker. Today, there is a Doe network that operates in both the United States and Canada through law enforcement, and the purpose of it is to simply keep track of the many bodies that are found just missing, where nobody comes to claim them. I believe right now they presently have between 6,000 and 7,000 bodies that have been unclaimed in the last few decades or so. It's really sad to think that there are that many people out there in the world that are so unconnected to families or to somebody in life that their lives are that disassociated from other fellow human beings that when they die, there's not even any claim of them and there's no one even looking for them. It kind of touches a nerve inside of us, a sense of compassion. It touches something deep inside of us about our own humanity and about the potential of being disconnected and loneliness and so on. Our Lord Jesus instructs the members of his church to look out at the world with a sense of compassion and to view people in this world and souls in this world from the perspective of God in heaven, and to see them not necessarily just so much as potentially disconnected from their fellow man, but disconnected from God himself, not knowing God at all. Jesus says to his disciples, "Lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are white, they are already white for harvest." The context of this is very important to understand. Our Lord Jesus has traveled from Judea, now northward to Galilee, and has gone through the region of Samaria, a region that is inhabited by people that the Jews despised of Jesus' day. Very few of the Samaritans had come to know and worship the true God and had kind of a mixture of false beliefs. Jesus had just come off of the conversation with the woman at the well, talking to her about her sins and how he was the water of life and so on. And Jesus now speaking to his disciples who are uncomfortable being in this place surrounded by the heathen. Jesus now has them look out at the world in a little different way and to see the heathen, which ultimately is also a picture of all of us, to see the heathen from the perspective of love and compassion, from God's viewpoint from heaven. To see the great amount of people, this great white harvest field, waiting to hear the gospel and waiting to be connected, not back just to man, but to God through his grace in Christ. The multitudes of this world, even right here in our own community, the multitudes of this world go disconnected from God and they live a life separated from him, as we once were. They live afraid of God, as we once were, and sometimes still struggle with. They were unaware of his wonderful grace in Christ, as we once were. They're living in a sense of fear about dying, as we once did, and maybe sometimes still have twinges of that. even though we know we have no reason to because of Christ. They live in the sense of fear about being judged by God and what's going to happen when they get to eternity, which is exactly where we would be in that same fear were it not for Christ and the wonderful hope we have in Him. And so our Lord is really saying to us, the members of His church, look out at the world, look at people in this world from a different perspective. Look at them through the cross. Look at them from the viewpoint of the means of grace that will go out and reap the harvest. This is how our Lord Jesus wants us to view the masses of humanity that we see in this world. The fantastic thing about the gospel itself is that it comes with the power to conduct evangelism. The same evangelical compassion from the heart of God that has come into your and my dead soul, convicted us of our sin, caused us to realize we'd have no hope of going to heaven were it not for God's grace, but that has also taught us about His great love in Christ, forgiving us our sins completely and fully, entirely, giving us that hope of having the righteousness of Christ on Judgment Day and the hope of walking through the gates of heaven someday, that same powerful, compassionate love of God, that evangelical nature of the gospel that has reached down through word and sacrament to your heart and mind and claimed you as God's child. Well, one of the fantastic characteristics of that gospel when it touches souls and hearts is it wakes up that same kind of compassion toward other people, to look out into the world with a new perspective on their souls. Jesus uses the illustration here of a farmer who has done all of the work of preparing the crop and so on, and now he stands at the end of all of this, ready for the great hard labor work, the difficult work. Sometimes we see farmers out harvesting their field here at midnight, driving their tractors. It's tough work, but those farmers are excited because this is payday. They know that when the harvest comes in, this means something for them. It matters. And so there's enthusiasm and joy to get it done, too. And this is how God looks at the world and the souls of this world. There's hard work to do. The work of bringing the gospel to every creature in this world is challenging and difficult at times. But it's also a blessed and wonderful work. And the benefits, the eternal benefits, just outweigh any difficulty of the work. And so each one of us has our various opportunities to be involved in this. Doesn't mean we have to go be a missionary or a pastor or a teacher. That's wonderful too. But even as faithful laymen in the church, praying, speaking about the gospel, inviting others, directing them to Christ, there's so many ways we can be involved. Right in our residential halls, maybe with our roommates, possibly just in emails, sharing our faith with individuals. It's amazing the ways that God can use those things to bring others to the wonderful hope of salvation we have in Christ. As a pastor, I used to kind of keep track once in a while of how many different people would come into my office or talk to me or call me during the week with different things where you could tell it was evangelism that was driving the question. I've got somebody at work that I've been talking to about Christ and about my faith. You know, I've got a brother that hasn't been to church for quite a while. How can I possibly get him back? And so on. One of my favorite ones, I'll ask you this, what do you plan to do when you're 97 years old? One of my favorite ones is one day I got a phone call from a 97-year-old member of our church, 97. And he asked me to come over because he was very concerned about something. It turned out that he and his wife had raised a foster child 50 years earlier, and this woman was now in her late 60s or early 70s. And in his recent communications with her, he discovered that she really didn't understand the gospel. And he wanted to find out a way to reach her and to bring the word of God to her. 97, still alive with that wonderful evangelistic spirit in his heart. The harvest is a joyful time for the farmers. How wonderful it is for them to actually bring that into their barns and to fill up their wagons and bins and so on. The harvest is a big, wonderful deal to the farmers. Think of the joy that we're going to have in heaven of seeing the harvest of souls from this world. And how wonderful that God, even though he could have used angels or created a special creature to do this, instead chose to use you and to use me in our daily lives. Martin Luther said, if the only reason that God wanted to make you a Christian was just to take you to heaven, he would have done it as soon as you were baptized. But God has left us here in this world and may give us a life to be 97 to bring others along with us and to someday joy in that great harvest. Amen.